Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I remembered the day I had met him more vividly than I could recall some of my happiest memories. I could only suppose that it was because meeting him took a bigger toll on me than having a birthday party or going to Disneyland for the first time ever could. But before I start on another one of my immaterial rants, as he calls it, I suppose I should start at the beginning. He teases me whenever I start to describe the beginning. He says that I romanticize things too much, but I say I just have amazing powers of observation. I'll just let you decide. If there's one thing that I learned from my school career, there's only one thing that's more yearned for than Christmas during the cold winter months. Snow days. In the town that I lived in, it snowed often during the winter, but never enough to actually have a day off. It was really quite beautiful when it snowed, although as kids, we never really appreciated it, since all that we could see was that there wasn't enough snow for a snowman. Although there was never enough snow that stuck to do anything fun, we still took pleasure in having our parents wrap us in a million layers of clothing before sending us off to wait for the bus, all the while hitting each other with the ends of our scarves. The beginning started as one of those blissful, snowy days. The morning before school started was uneventful. The chatter on the bus and the walk into school consisted of talk mainly around Christmas, since it was only a few weeks away. Even in elementary school, I had a relatively tight friend group. It was small, but we had all known each other since we were babies. There was Thomas, who was a bit of a loudmouth and fancied himself the self-proclaimed comedian of our friend group, always cracking very dad-like jokes to which we either laugh or grimace. Then there was Araya, the tomboy who would smack you if you even mentioned how nice she would look in a dress, and who didn't seem to mind that she was the only girl in the group. Then, to top it off, there was her brother, Caden, who took after his father with his liking for sports, always spitting out random facts about teams no one ever heard of. We did everything together, only being separated if we absolutely had to. We chatted on the way into school, already starting to unzip our coats as we entered the building, as the temperature inside the building was in striking contrast to the bitter cold outside. We let our feet guide us on muscle memory to the fourth grade area of the building as we continued to chat. Araya and Caden already in an argument about how many Christmas presents they deserved, while Thomas and I jumped in with our 2 cents occasionally. As we approached our classroom door, however, our chatter ceased as we looked inside. Our classroom, like any elementary school classroom, had its desks arranged in groups of 4. Our bus route was the closest to the school, which meant that the 4 of us were usually the first ones in the classroom in the morning, which was beneficial since we could have the first pick of tables, although we sat at the same one every time. But we liked the idea of having the first pick on them. As we approached the door, we stopped, our chatter dying out as we noticed that someone was at our table. It was a boy, with tousled hair so dark that I honestly couldn't tell if it was black or a really deep brown. He was sitting where Araya usually sat, bent over a book so far that I couldn't see his face. He didn't notice us in the doorway, but if he did, he made no movement to acknowledge us. My initial reaction was that it was a new student, since I had never seen him before, and I knew all of my classmates fairly well, even if we weren't that close. My friends and I had just exchanged silent, curious looks with each other when our teacher, Miss Lennon, noticed us in the doorway.
"Good morning. You guys can come in and sit. I need to grab a few things from the printer. I'll be back in a minute,"
she said with a smile, before getting up and leaving, not mentioning the dark-haired boy who still didn't look up from his book. If it was a new kid, we figured she'd want to wait for the rest of the class. We weren't sure how to proceed, since it seemed rude to kick him out of our spots when he was so obviously engrossed in what he was doing. Thomas, however, did not feel the same. He started towards him, to which we followed reluctantly. Thomas had always been a bit of a loudmouth, but this time I was worried that he could start us off on the wrong foot with the new student. We crossed over to the other side of the classroom to where he was sitting, and even when we were standing right next to him, he still didn't look up. I stole a look at the book he was reading, and though I didn't recognize it, I could tell that it wasn't the type of book we read in class. It was thicker, for one thing. The words on the page were tiny and cramped, and I didn't even recognize some of the longer words that appeared frequently on the page.
Hi,
Thomas finally said, breaking the silence, to which the boy finally looked up at him. I tried to take him in quickly in case he bowed his head again, to which I instantly decided that his hair was a deep brown, which complemented his hooded, dark blue eyes. He had a shadow under his jaw, and very symmetrical features. We were in fourth grade, but he was still, well, cute. It was his eyes that actually caught my attention, because even though he was looking at Thomas, there was such an intensity in his gaze that was both casual and a bit frightening. And by not saying anything, it only amplified the effect.
"Sorry to bother you, but you're actually sitting in my friend's spot," Thomas said as he gestured to Araya, who gave a little wave.
The boy shifted his gaze to her, not moving his head, and I felt a trickle of unease. He still didn't speak. Instead, looked at each of us in turn, the hairs standing up on my arm when his gaze fell on me. And I looked back, determined to not break eye contact. He eventually looked back at Thomas, before standing and closing the book. "Sorry," was the only thing that he said, quietly, before picking the book up and walking past us without another word to a different spot across the room. I wasn't the only one unnerved by this interaction, and my friends and I shared another confused look before we were saved by the noise of the other kids coming into the room, Miss Lennon right behind them. Everyone noticed the boy, who was once again bent over his book quietly, but said nothing. A few people filled the spots around him, to which he took no notice. It wasn't until Miss Lennon stood at the front of the room and called for the quiet coyote that the boy closed his book and gave her his attention.
"Thank you, class," Miss Lennon said, while silence fell over the room. "Now, a few of you might have noticed, but we have a new student in the class," she said, smiling at the boy, who was looking at her with a blank expression. "His name is Avery, and he just moved here all the way from Canada. I'm sure all of you will try your best to give him a warm welcome," she said, smiling brightly over at him, to which his expression still didn't change. I figured maybe he was upset about being here, since Canada clearly seemed more exciting than being in boring old Colorado. I tried to imagine being yanked across to a different country at such a young age, especially when he probably had friends at his old school. I decided that I would try to talk to him later, to make him feel more welcome, just like Miss Lennon said. The morning went along as usual, and before we knew it, it was already time for lunch and recess. Everyone got up, forming a line to march to the cafeteria in an orderly fashion. We all found our usual tables, the cafeteria already filled with sounds of crinkling and chattering. The noise was so loud that I didn't hear the footsteps that stopped behind me. My friends were all looking up at something behind me, and as I turned around, my heart skipped a beat. It was Avery,
standing with his hands in his pockets, looking at us with an expression that I couldn't quite describe.
"Is anyone sitting here?"
he said softly, gesturing at the empty seat next to me, since the tables fit five, but there were only four of us. He addressed the group, but his deep-set eyes were looking at me. My throat felt stuck, and I couldn't speak. Luckily, though, Araya came to my rescue.
"It's not,"
she said hurriedly, when Avery didn't sit down right away. Caden jumped in.
"We don't bite. Come sit,"
Caden said with a small smile, and I tried nodding as if to confirm. Thomas, however, stayed silent. Feeling reassured, Avery crossed over, taking the seat next to me, as Araya and Caden struck up a conversation as if nothing had happened. It was then that I noticed that Avery didn't have lunch with him. He was sitting fairly close to me, close enough that my foot started to bounce nervously under the table. Somewhere, I found the courage to speak up.
"Do you not have anything to eat?"
I said in a quiet voice, glancing at him, to which he met my eyes and shook his head slightly. Without another word, I unzipped my lunchbox and pulled out the sandwich that my mom had made me.
"Do you have any kind of allergies?"
I asked, looking at him, slightly more confident than I had been a minute ago. Avery once again shook his head. Without a word, I took the plastic knife from Caden's tray and began to cut my sandwich in half. I had just finished when a quick hand beside me reached out and grabbed one of the halves. Looking up, I saw the hands belonged to Thomas.
"Oh, Aiden, you're too kind. You know that PB&J is my favorite,"
he said, grinning, before taking a few big bites out of it, effectively shoving more than half of it into his mouth. A shot of anger coursed through me, and I could already feel a flush creeping up my cheeks. I wasn't sure if he was trying to be funny or trying to push Avery into retaliating, but I didn't care.
"You jerk, that was for..."
I cut myself off, shaking my head, and reached for my other half that was supposed to be mine.
"Avery, you can just have mine,"
I said, turning to him. But the seat was empty. Looking around, I saw him walking to the other end of the room, shoving the doors open as he disappeared through them.
"You're such a jerk. He didn't do anything to you,"
I said furiously, standing and grabbing my other half of the sandwich.
"Oh, come on. It's just a joke,"
Thomas said, his mouth still full of sandwich, but I cut him off. "It wasn't very funny," I said shortly, grabbing my half of the sandwich and getting up to follow Avery. The only place we were allowed to go before recess were the bathrooms, so I made a beeline for the boys' room that was closest to the door he went out of. I pushed the door open with one hand, the sandwich still clutched in my other. The first thing that I noticed when I walked in was that it was cold, very cold. There were no windows, so the cold winter air couldn't have gotten in. Shaking away these thoughts, I focused on what I was here for. The bathroom looked empty, so I kneeled down to see if anyone's feet were under the stalls. I saw a pair of white shoes in the last stall, the same ones Avery had been wearing. I was about to call out to him when I heard voices.
"I said no, okay?"
came a voice from the stall. It was harsher and louder than I had ever heard it, but I still recognized it as Avery's. I stayed completely still in silence, having no idea what was happening. A loud thump came from inside the stall, startling me so badly I almost dropped the sandwich I was holding. My heart thumped wildly in my chest.
"It's none of your business what's going on in there," I told myself. "Just leave.
You know nothing."
I froze. The voice did not belong to Avery. It was higher, colder, and sounded like the person talking had knives in their throat, the raspy quality sending shivers down each inch of my body. It sounded vaguely like Avery's voice, but it just wasn't. My heart felt as if it was trying desperately to escape my chest. Kneeling down again, I confirmed what I first saw. There was still only one pair of shoes in the stall. The voice came again.
"Let me do it.
Just let me do it. No one would miss him. No one would care.
It said, crooning now, as if it were trying to convince a stubborn toddler to go to bed. It was a stupid sandwich. It doesn't matter. Avery's voice came again. It was then that I realized the conversation was about Thomas. The loud thump came again. The lights flickered.
Don't you see? That's only the beginning. I don't like how he was looking at us. He must go. He must.
The voice cut off mid-sentence. Then a giggle came from the stall. High and childish.
I didn't know you've already made friends.
The giggle came again.
What are you talking about?
Avery asked, his voice strained. I felt a trickle of unease. I almost preferred the high, cold voice over the settling silence. A quiet tapping started, and I realized it was on the door of the stall. Suddenly, the stall door flew open. A wide-eyed, panicked Avery looked around until his gaze fell on me. I couldn't move. I looked at him, terrified, not knowing what to make of what I had just heard, what had happened.
Aiden,
Avery said, moving towards me. I backed away quickly, wincing as my back slammed against the hard tile wall. Avery stopped moving. A mixture of sadness and confusion washed over his face. It felt like we looked at each other for hours, when it really couldn't have been more than 10 seconds.
Who was that?
I said, finally, my voice small, still staying pressed to the wall. I could see Avery analyzing his options, weighing whether or not he wanted to be truthful. Until, finally, he spoke.
I was making a phone call,
he said softly, putting his hands in his pockets. Doubt washed over me. My parents said I wasn't even allowed to have a phone until the end of middle school.
You have a phone?
I asked, doubt dripping in my voice, and Avery nodded, but his eyes dropped to the floor.
Yes, I'm sorry if I scared you. I didn't know you were in here,
he started, before he stopped himself and looked at me.
Why are you here?
He asked, bringing his eyes up to meet mine. I swallowed, raising the slightly crushed half of the sandwich.
I came to bring you my half, since Thomas took what was supposed to be yours,
I said, quietly, nervous and afraid, since I was certain that Avery was not being truthful. Suddenly, an expression stole over Avery's face, and his eyes dropped to the sandwich I was holding, before bringing them back up to mine. No longer were his eyes cutting and intense. Instead, there was a softness that spread to the rest of his face as he regarded me.
You followed me to bring me your half,
he said, his voice barely above a whisper, as if he could not comprehend such a thing. I nodded, holding it out to him. He took it gently, looking at it for a moment before looking at me, and for the first time since I had seen him, he smiled.
Thank you.
I couldn't help it. Despite what just happened, his smile was so infectious that I couldn't help but smile back. The lunch bell rang, signaling recess. I moved towards the door when I felt a hand close gently around my wrist. I turned to look at Avery, who looked away for a moment, blushing slightly before he let go.
I'm sorry if I frightened you. I was wondering if you wouldn't tell anyone about this. It's sort of embarrassing, he said, finally bringing his eyes up to mine.
I thought for a moment. It was certainly weird, and I was really confident that the phone thing had been a lie, but something inside me pushed me to let this one go.
Sure, I said, smiling slightly. Your secret's safe with me.
I left first, waiting to give him a moment to compose himself. As I heard the door close, I could have sworn I heard a high, cold voice giggle. It was a few days later that I had a nightmare, or what I really hoped was a nightmare. It had been a few days since the incident in the bathroom, and nothing out of the ordinary had happened since then. Thomas never apologized to Avery, despite the constant hounding we gave him. I settled into my bed that night, greatly looking forward to sleeping in since it was Friday. Just to paint a picture, my bedroom was just like any kid's bedroom. I really liked it because it had a big ceiling fan that I never used, but I just liked how it looked, kind of like the top of a helicopter. I drifted off to sleep that night, snuggled deeply under my covers, warm and comfortable. It had always taken me a little while to sleep, since I usually slept a good while, hovering in the half-asleep category, before my body actually shut down and went to bed. I could feel myself starting to drift off when, suddenly, a prickle of unease racked my body. It was that uncomfortable feeling that you get when someone is watching you. Put it down to my overactive imagination as I closed my eyes tighter. After a few minutes, I couldn't ignore it. I flipped over onto my back, looking at the ceiling, and my heart stopped in my chest. There was someone on my ceiling fan. Wait, not someone. Something. Because there was no way that a human could have looked like that. My heart pounded lightly, and I was petrified, too afraid to move, to speak. Partially because the thing looked like Avery. But it wasn't. It didn't take long before I realized that I couldn't move if I wanted to. My limbs seemed stuck to the bed. I looked back at the thing on my fan. It was black, with unnaturally long, thin limbs that were adjusting to make it perch on top of the fan. It had an oval head, but it was the face that terrified me. It looked like Avery, but the features were all wrong. The nose was too low, the eyebrows too high, and the rest of the features looked like they had been smeared away. But the thing that was most unnerving was the mouth. It was stretched unnaturally wide, smiling down at me, giving the eyes a maniacal expression. I was trying to remember how to breathe.
"Ah, so you are awake,"
the thing said, but its mouth didn't move.
"So pretty and peaceful,"
it said, tilting its head. Its mouth still wasn't moving as it talked.
"I can see why Avery likes you. Oh, yes."
"What are you?" I whispered, my terrified eyes never leaving it. The childish giggle, like the one in the bathroom, came from it.
"That is a very complicated question. Let's just say I am the better version of Avery. He doesn't know that. He does not think I am better. He resists me, refuses to."
The thing went on, its voice getting harsher before it stopped, and its soulless eyes fixed on me.
"I know what is best for him. He will see I am right in the end. He will see that he needs me. He is nothing without me."
I swallowed. "What do you want?" I whispered, petrified, my heart pounding as the thing stretched its limbs, and in a fast motion, was beside me. I wanted to move, to run, but my limbs were still frozen.
"I do not think that you need to have that information. There is only one thing that you need to know,"
it said, moving closer, and for the first time, I saw its unnaturally wide, grinning mouth move as it spoke.
"If you hurt us, I will know,"
it whispered. It giggled at my terrified expression, before taking its fingers and closing my eyes. When I opened them again, it was gone. When I awoke, I was shaking, and I put it down to a nightmare. There was no possible way that it was real. I didn't tell anyone, not my parents, not my friends, certainly not Avery. It didn't happen again, which only reinforced the fact that it was just a dream. The years went on, and before we knew it, we were in high school. My friends and I were still extremely close, even though we took up different hobbies. Caden took up sports, while Araya got really into the arts. I got interested in technology and literature, and Thomas, well, he was just kind of around. He didn't have much of a hobby or a specific interest, but still considered himself the comedian, although over the years his jokes became more and more mean-spirited than funny. Avery became less quiet as the years went on, which, in my opinion, was a miracle, seeing as Thomas already seemed to have a bone to pick with him. And sometimes he could be relentless, and for some reason, Avery never, ever retaliated. We never really became friends, but he smiled whenever he passed me in the halls, and was always friendly. I never told him about the nightmare I had in fourth grade. He looked the same as he did in the fourth grade, but with obvious differences. He was much taller, at least a good 6 feet now. He still had his dark hair in a tousled mess, and everything about him just became much more defined. Not that I noticed or anything. What happened in fourth grade, I didn't really think about. I put it down to my overactive imagination, but sometimes I found myself wondering about it. After what happened that sunny spring day, I couldn't pretend any longer. It was one of those rare spring days that was actually sunny and warm with no wind. My friends and I were on a walk in the park, just having come from Caden's baseball game, chatting. Thomas was in a bad mood because someone knocked into him at the concession stand, making him spill his drink. He swears it was Avery. As we were walking, going over the highlights of the game, I noticed Avery up ahead of us, hands in his pockets, just enjoying a walk, like us. Before I could stop him, Thomas spotted him and called out.
"Hey, moron!"
he yelled, and Avery turned around, stopping. Araya and Caden both said, "Don't," at the same time, but it was too late. Thomas was already advancing, jumping on the perfect opportunity to pick on Avery. We all stopped, watching as Thomas got close to him.
"I know it was you who made me spill my drink," he said, to which Avery's eyebrows knitted together.
"I didn't even see you at the game."
"You liar,"
he said, pushing Avery away from him. He stumbled but regained his balance, not making an attempt to retaliate.
"Thomas, quit it,"
I said, stepping forward and trying to push him away. He ignored me, pushing me behind him as he made another advance on Avery, this time putting his arm back to land a punch to his jaw, this time succeeding in knocking him down. Araya yelled that she and Caden were going to get something while I tried to pull Thomas off of him.
"Thomas! Thomas, stop!"
I said desperately, but I was again ignored. Blood was dripping from Avery's nose as Thomas landed another blow.
"Fight back, freak!"
he yelled, and still, Avery let him continue landing blows, groaning as one hit his solar plexus. I was about to call the police, not waiting for Araya and Caden, when I saw something that made me freeze in my tracks. Something had come out of Avery, something with unnaturally long limbs to match its unnaturally long smile.
"What the hell?"
Thomas yelled in alarm, backing away quickly. The thing from my nightmare, the thing from my dreams, was advancing, his eyes wide, its smile large.
"No, no,"
Avery yelled, scrambling to get up.
"Finally, finally,"
the creature exclaimed as Thomas and I were backing away. Thomas tried to run, but it was no use. The creature caught him by the ankle, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Avery stumbling towards it, repeating the same thing.
"No, no, no."
Suddenly, the creature unhinged its jaw, unnaturally wide, wide enough for a person to fit. Eyes wide with alarm, Thomas screamed.
"Aiden! Aiden, help me!"
he screamed before he was cut off. The creature had swallowed him whole. I froze. Avery had reached us, grabbing the creature's hand and yanking him backwards, back into him. He fell to the ground, panting, blood still running down his face.
I couldn't comprehend what just happened. I saw what just happened, but I couldn't quite believe it. A new noise snapped me out of my thoughts. Avery was on his knees, dry sobs racking his body. I didn't know what made me go to him, what made me sit next to him, pulling him against my chest, holding him for what seemed like hours, until Araya and Caden came, along with campus police, and everything became a blur. Thomas was declared a missing person a few days later. There were no witnesses, except myself and Avery. And it's a secret I will take to my grave. Avery didn't come to school for the next few days, and I went to visit him every day after school. Avery didn't say much, and I didn't push him. I was afraid of him for a while, but it became clear that he would never let that happen to me. I tried to put it behind us. That was 5 years ago. My boyfriend and I don't talk about what happened when we were kids. Each year, a few weeks before Christmas, he makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for us to share. Nothing like what happens to Thomas happened again. Avery says it's because of me, that I make him better. But I also think it's because he's terrified of anything happening to me. No one else knows what happens to that day, and I plan on keeping it that way. After all, his secret was safe with me.